This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Thursday, February 24th, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us across America here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On Thursdays, we always remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good day to make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament if you can't. If you can't, take a moment and make a spiritual communion during the day. We have a lot to pray about on this day. I want to bring in our Glenn Leverins. Glenn, as we've been reporting all this morning, Russia has attacked Ukraine overnight. How is the U.S. And the allies reacting to this latest news?
Well, the latest news, of course, attacks with cruise missiles and ballistic missiles landing all over many, many different parts of Ukraine. About 9 p.m. Central Time in the U.S. last night, about 8 hours ahead in Ukraine, so 5 in the morning over there, the shelling started, and it continues. It's mid-afternoon right now. Traffic jams for miles as folks are fleeing the country to the relative safety of the western part of Ukraine, the only part not being shelled at the moment. The West united against that invasion. The German chancellor called it a terrible day for Ukraine, a dark day for Europe. The French president said his country stands with Ukrainians. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson said the UK and its allies will use sweeping sanctions to hobble the Russian economy. Those and others in the G7 will be contacted and conversed with this morning by President Biden, who's expected to talk to the country later on this morning, possibly toward the noon hour, on the next steps that the West will take. But as we've heard people say, this is kind of warfare we've not seen in Europe potentially since the end of World War II in 1945.
And the rhetoric that's coming out of Putin is quite alarming. He's warning other countries with consequences as you've never seen before. It's quite concerning, the rhetoric coming out of the Russian president.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it's not something we, you know, kind of expect to hear and see in 2022 in Europe. And, you know, who knows where it'll move from here. We'll keep an eye on it. Another thing, too, there's over 1 million Americans of Ukrainian descent in the U.S., and they have great fears for their families over there. It was interesting growing up in St. Paul, Minnesota, back in the 70s. Our neighbors were from Ukraine, and my dad, of German descent, just called them Russian, and they didn't like that because they were a different people. They were Ukrainian, not Russian. And the neighbor lady, actually, her father was the mayor of a tiny town in Ukraine. And that town was overrun by the Nazis as they took over. And then when the Red Army was coming back through to retake the area for Russia, they left along with the Nazis, as the people of the town feared the Russian Red Army even more than the Nazis. And we think of how that kind of informs what's going on today. I found that to be very interesting to look back, John.
Absolutely. And we continue to unite ourselves in prayer with the Russian people, excuse me, with the Ukrainian people, but also praying for the Russian people, because we want peace at the end of the day. We want this warfare to end. And we unite ourselves to the prayers of Archbishop Boris Gutsiak, who was with us on Morning Air a few days ago, asking all people of goodwill to continue to pray for peace for this very grave situation in Eastern Europe. Glenn, we'll be checking in with you a little bit later on.
Sounds good, John.
We begin every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, and especially we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia in Eastern Europe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and illuminate our minds this morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Colossians 3:17. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." St. Paul reminds us that it doesn't matter if you're a lawyer, doctor, mother, or an Olympic athlete. Whatever you do, if you do it for Jesus, if you do it for the Lord, for his glory, you're on the right track. You can sanctify your work every day, throughout the day, in whatever it is that you do, if you do it for the Lord Jesus, always giving thanks to God the Father through him. We always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, the battle for the culture of life is going on, not just in this country, but around the world. In fact, abortion activists and rich globalists have been targeting South and Central American countries' pro-life laws for years, and several countries have caved into the pressure recently. In fact, on Monday, the Colombian Constitutional Court issued a radical pro-abortion 5-4 ruling that forces the South American Catholic country to legalize the killing of unborn babies in abortions up to 24 weeks. Listen to how the mainstream media, specifically NBC News, reported on the ruling.
Tonight, across Colombia, abortion supporters celebrating after the nation's high court legalized abortion until the 24th week of pregnancy, some calling the move historic.
Una felicidad increíble porque por fin estamos logrando lo que nuestras mujeres históricas tanto habían luchado. Esto es historia.
Es un gran logro. Creo que con la decisión de hoy ganaron todas las mujeres.
Now, not everyone was celebrating. Colombia's President Iván Duque slammed the court's decision legalizing abortion, saying that killing babies is heinous. The question is, why should this ruling matter to us here in the United States? Now, joining us from Los Angeles, California, for much more on the legalization of abortion in Colombia is our regular contributor, Astrid Bennett Gutierrez. Astrid is a pro-life activist and speaker working in the Hispanic community to save the unborn and train leaders to end abortion. She's the president of the VIDA Initiative and executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services, which provides support for women of Los Angeles who are primarily Hispanic. Good morning, Astrid. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us from LA. It's always great to be with you.
It's a blessing for me to be with you, John, and the Relevant Radio audience. And yes, we are terribly disturbed, upset by this ruling. It's tragic. It is really mind-boggling to hear women celebrating the destruction of their children, that this is something good and historic for their country. Clearly, these are abortion activists, feminist groups that do not reflect the people of Colombia. The people of Colombia are largely pro-life and pro-family. This is a terrible day. Monday was a terrible day for Colombia. The highest court, the Constitutional Court, had an extraordinary session, and the ruling was 5-4 in favor of legalizing abortion up to the 6th month. So babies in Colombia can be aborted for any reason up to the 6th month. John, we have children that are born at 6 months, you know, preemies that can be taken care of perfectly well. So these children are very big babies. All children from the moment of conception should be protected. But this is really a terrible situation. Colombia in 2006 had a ruling where they allowed abortion for 3 reasons. Life of the mother, fetal deformities or malformation, Life of the mother, fetal deformity. I'm going to come back to that. There's a third reason why they allowed abortion. And so based on that ruling, every 7 minutes, a child is killed in Colombia. So you had these women celebrating from the feminist groups outside of the court. You also had pro-lifers that were mourning this terrible decision, that had signs that said, "You are silencing the innocents." There were coffins that were placed representing these children that die every 7 minutes from abortion. So I know that the pro-life movement in Colombia is ready to fight. They're not giving up. The movement in Colombia, people should know, is dynamic. It is people, there are pregnancy help centers in Colombia. There are people helping women that have been hurt by abortion and men. So this is something that is not going to just happen and people are going to have their arms crossed and just forget about it. They're going to continue to fight. We saw so many videos from pro-life leaders talking about this ruling. And one thing, John, that is important to note about this ruling, this lawsuit that was presented to the High Court, is that it's largely funded by the abortion industry in Colombia, which is funded by our money. You know, Planned Parenthood is helping to fund that industry. And also pro-abortion groups in the United States were part of this lawsuit. One of them was filed by Center for Reproductive Justice in New York. You know, this is something people have to understand, that we are financing the culture of death in these poor countries, in Latin America, in these third world countries. So it's blood in our hands. And that's why we tell people that elections matter. Elections matter. Money should not be going to these countries to fund abortion. And not only do they fund legislation, they fund the marketing that you know, begins to confuse the public about what abortion really is about. This is not about protecting women. This is about making money. This is about a population control agenda. So we have to pray and fast, and we should care about what's happening in these countries because they are our brothers and sisters as well, John.
Well, Astrid, on a uplifting note, the reaction from Colombia's President Duque was very strong. He absolutely slammed this decision by the High Court of legalizing abortion in Colombia, saying that killing babies is heinous. I guess that gives us some hope that both the president and other Colombian political leaders are going to really try to reverse this decision.
Yes, there was a pro-life activist, Jesus Magaña of United for Life Colombia. He said the strategy is going to be to have a legal strategy to reverse this decision. Of course, it's the highest court, so it's quite the monumental task. But I think that they are up for it. They are going to try to correct it because life is worth defending. And this decision by the High Court was a violation of the Constitution, Article 11, that says that life is inviolable and that the death penalty will not be allowed in Colombia. So clearly they have something, some grounds to stand on to fight this legally. And just to make the world aware that life begins at conception, it is incredible that in 2022, we have all this technology and knowledge. We should be well aware that this child in the womb is one of our citizens, worthy of protection. When we say life is inviolable, it applies to him or to her. And that abortion is applying the death penalty to this innocent child. And that abortion does not help women. It's a cop-out. It's a sign that society has failed women. So this is something that I know the pro-life movement is up for it. They are ready to fight. They're not giving up. There was a wonderful video, John, that I saw on Instagram. It was a pro-life leader, Andrea Garzon. She was saying, you know, we need to keep fighting. This is a lost battle, she said, but we're winning the war because Christ has already won in heaven. We're not stopping. We're going to save and defend both lives, you know, and we're going to keep saving babies. We're going to save more and more baby. So the tone of the pro-life leaders has been one of just not giving up, of zeal, which is so characteristic of the pro-life movement. You know, we know that we're facing a huge battle, but we know that Christ has already won. He's inviting us to participate with him in the victory.
Amen. We're joined this morning by Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, pro-life leader, the president of the VIDA Initiative and executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services. Astrid, the question that comes to mind is, why are we seeing this happening in traditionally Catholic countries like Colombia and just earlier in Ecuador, something similar has happened there, and we've seen the battle in Mexico and Argentina. These Catholic countries turning away from the culture of life?
This has been happening for decades. We've had entities, well-funded entities, that have gone in there, first of all, to promote contraception. They go into the little towns, they go to places in Africa, Central America, South America, promoting, first of all, contraception. And we know contraception is the door to abortion. The next strategy is to convince the courts and the legislators that there are some circumstances where abortion is required. And they claim, as Colombia did in 2006, life of the mother, rape, and fetal deformity. They say, look, in these extreme cases, you have to at least allow abortion for these cases. We know, based on science and reason, that these are not valid cases. There is no reason why a child should be aborted. But they find it relatively easy to convince the courts and the legislators to allow abortion for these three reasons. That's another door that's open to abortion. The next door that's open is to completely legalize it, abortion on demand, for any reason, which is what has happened in Colombia. They have built on this 2006 ruling of the three exceptions. Instead of correcting it, as the pro-lifers were hoping would happen with this Monday ruling, they have now allowed abortion for any reason in Colombia up to the 6 month of gestation. And abortion continues to be allowed for all three reasons, all the way up to birth. So abortion, practically speaking, John, is allowed through the entire pregnancy in Colombia because, you know, I'm a pro-lifer and I speak to women that are pregnant all over the world. And I know that to get an abortion, you just have to claim something. They're very loose laws. So pretty much abortion is allowed all the way through in these countries with exceptions. So we have to understand that's the road. Contraception, then, you know, the abortion for exceptions that could happen in California, and then the door can be kicked open for all the children to be killed for any reason. But we have to keep fighting because we have science, we have a reason on our side, and humanity. Abortion is inhumane. It is the worst child abuse. It is completely against civilization. And so as pro-lifers, we have to continue to put the truth forward, let the truth defend itself. We're going to continue to help women in crisis pregnancies. That's one of the things that I shared with on social media yesterday is, you know, we have to be more committed than ever on an individual level, John, to defend the unborn children. When somebody shares with you that they're pregnant and they're scared or they're unsure, you have to put everything aside, help that mother and baby in crisis, because there are lives that only you can save. So as we fight the bigger battles, we have to also be ready as soldiers of Christ to defend any mother and child that God sends our way, and do so sacrificially, lovingly, as is characteristic of the pro-life movement. We are a movement of love and mercy, and we're not giving up, John.
Well, Astrid, realistically speaking, the tide is turning here in our country. We've talked about this in the past with Roe v. Wade on the verge of being overturned. The question is, why does this matter to us here in the U.S. that abortion is being legalized in Colombia and other Latin American countries?
Yes. You know, a lot of what happens in Latin America is funded by the U.S., you know, and it's incredible that, you know, we're also facing a similar decision here with Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health. So in the United States, we are fighting our own battle. We're hoping to overturn Roe versus Wade this year. So everybody must pray and fast and follow the news so that we can, God willing, have a victory in the Supreme Court this year with the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health that would reverse the Roe versus Wade decision that tragically has killed 65 million children in the womb here in the United States. So it's a global situation. We are brothers and sisters. So what happens there, we have to care about it, as we hope that they also care what happens here in the U.S. What happens in the U.S. tends to permeate the rest of the world for good or for bad.
Astrid, one final point I'd like to get your reaction to. There is some good news that we've just received from the Guttmacher Institute, which is actually an arm of Planned Parenthood. They're reporting that 39 states have introduced a record 230 pro-life bills in this year alone to protect babies from abortion. I think this is great news. Big abortion can feel the heat.
Yes, they're definitely feeling the heat with those pro-life laws on a state level, facing Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health on a national level, federal level. So we have to keep praying. We have to keep fighting. Anybody who has not joined the pro-life movement yet, I invite you to take that step. Go to your local pregnancy center. Go to your local 40 Days for Life campaign that's starting up very soon. Be a part of the solution, of the victory for Christ. This is what a Christian does. We look at the battles that God has placed on our hands, and we fight. So we're fighting this on a local level, state level, and federal level, and global level as well, John.
We're going to have to leave it right there. But Astrid, we really appreciate your perspective. And obviously, working extensively in the Hispanic community, this is an issue that really hits home. So thanks so much for being with us.
God bless you.
Many blessings to you. Astrid Bene Gutierrez, the president of the VIDA Initiative and the executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services.
We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Catholic attorney Andrea Picciotti Bayer will tell us about a religious freedom and free speech case involving a Christian public school football coach who wanted to pray after games. Do stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air after this.
Get connected to the conversation.
Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio
and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. If you're just joining us this morning, we've been reporting for the last couple of hours that Russia launched a wide-ranging attack on Ukraine overnight, hitting cities and bases with airstrikes and shelling as civilians piled into trains and cars are fleeing across the country. I want to bring in our news anchor, Glenn Leverance, for this Relevant Radio special report. Glenn, what is the latest?
Well, John, Ukraine already reporting casualties in the dozens, including several civilians. Russia reportedly has seen a number of its planes and at least three helicopters shot down. President Biden expected to unveil more sanctions against Russia today. Americans, meanwhile, bracing for soaring prices as a result of Russia's attack. Predictions of higher gas prices and higher inflation very soon. The Ukrainian president says anyone wants to help defend the country from Russia will be given a weapon. In a video message this morning, President Zelensky called for blood donations as Russia carries out military strikes in Ukraine. The president in the U.S. addressing the nation about that invasion after meeting with virtually with other G7 leaders this morning. He'll address the U.S. later in the morning. God always on the side of victims of unjust aggression. That from the leader of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church. And Pope Francis, speaking actually yesterday as part of his general audience address, would like to tell all those who have political responsibility, he said, to make a serious examination of conscience before God, who's the God of peace and not of war.
Absolutely. The Holy Father calling for a day of prayer and fasting next Wednesday on Ash Wednesday. But we need to begin to pray right away to continue to pray for peace in this very serious situation. I think the Ukrainian Major Archbishop, his response to this Russian invasion was very good. He said, quote, "The Lord is with us." And I think that that is the perspective that we need to have. And also to continue to invoke the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother, the Queen of Peace, so that peace prevails in the end here in this conflict.
Absolutely. Lots to keep track of, but definitely bathe the entire situation in prayer, one and all.
Thanks so much, Glenn. And of course, you'll be keeping our listeners up to date all throughout the morning. Thanks so much.
Sure thing, John.
Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, I want to switch gears. I want to talk about two interesting cases that the U.S. Supreme Court will be considering this and next term, including one involving a former high school football coach who claims that he ought to be able to lead public post-game prayers on the 50-yard line.
This is where it happened. The game had just ended. Some players were celebrating a victory. Others were mourning the loss. Up in the stands, 50 yards away, parents were gathering their stuff and collecting their kids to head home after the game. And that's when a coach walked from the sidelines all the way to this spot and took a knee for 15 seconds. He might have been looking for something a player dropped. He might have been contemplating how the game went, or possibly he was offering a silent prayer. From the stands, you wouldn't have been able to tell, but that 15 seconds got that coach fired.
And that's exactly what we're going to talk about this morning. And the question is, will the U.S. Supreme Court continue to rule consistent with the original meaning of the Constitution? So far, the answer appears to be yes, especially when it comes to the vindication of free speech and religious liberty. Joining us now for much more is Andrew Picciotti Bayer with a legal and Catholic perspective on these free speech and religious liberty cases. Andrea is a Stanford-educated lawyer who has dedicated her legal career to civil rights and appellate advocacy. She's also the director of the Conscious Project and is a mother of 10. Good morning, Andrea. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us from Washington, D.C. It's great to be with you once again.
No, it's always an invitation I can never let pass by. It's great to be with you guys.
Well, Andrea, first of all, you just heard the description of the football coach. Can you tell us a little bit about this case, Kennedy versus Bremerton School District, the football coach case? What's it all about? Can you fill our listeners in?
Of course. I want to just say, you know, it's easy to think that what's going on here at home isn't related to what's going on in the larger scene. And I was thinking as we were, you know, suffering over the situation in the Ukraine, really prayer is at the kind of core of how we get through what is a really difficult time. And this case, Kennedy versus Bremerton School District, is a reminder, an inflection point on how prayer is fundamental to American society right now. As you mentioned before, Joseph Kennedy, he's an assistant football coach out in Washington State. For 7 years, he had been taking a knee at the end of the game to give thanks to God, and he made a promise to God. He's an evangelical Christian, and students often would join him. Parents would join him. At one point, other coaches from the other teams would join him in giving thanks, you know, that people didn't get hurt, that there was a chance for, you know, sportsman interaction between young people, the community was brought together, all of these wonderful things that we really sometimes forget to thank God for giving us. And the school district, after receiving a pat on the back from another school principal for allowing this kind of thing to happen, said, whoa, wait a second, we're really worried that people are going to attribute your individual private prayer to our endorsing religion. Now, that's a really mistaken understanding of the Establishment Clause problems. This isn't, you know, the state is not establishing, you know, an evangelical church over at Bremerton. But it ended up being that they were offering Coach Kennedy, hey, why don't you just go into a small room near the stadium afterwards? Just don't do it where people can see.
Keep it to yourself. Yeah. Don't pray, but do it privately.
Right? Under a bushel basket, essentially. And coach said no. And eventually he was suspended. His contract wasn't renewed. And he's been fighting for the last 7 years. He's been fighting in court. And just recently, the Supreme Court decided to accept his case. Oral argument is going to be held in April, which is quick. So we are going to get a decision from the Supreme Court before the end of its term and before the beginning of the next football season for the school district. So it's a very exciting case. It is the intersection, as you mentioned before, of these fundamental freedoms: freedom of religion, freedom of speech. And I think this Supreme Court has never been better constituted to be able to tackle them consistent with the Constitution provides.
Absolutely. Andrea, this former high school football coach from the Seattle area, Joe Kennedy, he said that his religious beliefs required him to give thanks through prayer at the end of each game. I saw an interview with Coach Kennedy talking about the love that he had for coaching, for being a father figure, a mentor to these young kids. It was much more about teaching them to be young men and teaching morals and values and virtues than it was about winning football games. So this is a guy with a lot of principle, obviously, that he would not back down when being told that he couldn't pray at the 50-yard line.
Absolutely. You know, and it's very interesting. People will say, well, you know, why don't you just keep it to yourself? Why don't you pray in the car in the parking lot? Our system, when we're looking at requests for, you know, freedom of religion, the government never goes in and questions the sincerity of a person's belief. So if Coach Kennedy believes, and he's stated in media reports that he's made a promise to God to immediately take a knee and thank him. And a friend reminded me, because I'm not that cool, that this has been going on in the NFL for decades.
For decades. I can tell you from firsthand experience, I used to cover the NFL extensively. I traveled with the Detroit Lions for years on the road and also covered the Chicago Bears. These guys always kneel after games, both teams. And they kneel, usually 20, 30 guys, and they lock hands and they pray and they give thanks. And so this, on the professional level, it's been going on at some universities. It's also gone on the college level. So, and this is not something brand new that Coach Kennedy has invented.
Yeah, no, and it's very much a part of our understanding, our American tradition, that people live their faith publicly. And some of the issues that have been raised, and was raised when there was an originally emergency request to the Supreme Court, the court said, look, we need to develop more of a factual record right now. But Justice Samuel Alito, who's been one of the leaders in protecting religious freedom in particular, said, well, what about a teacher at a school who bows her head or bows his head before lunch? Are they going to be told they can't? And, you know, the other side that's represented, the school district's represented by an anti-religious freedom group called Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. And they said, oh, no, that's different. How different is it? We really want people to feel that wherever they are, whether they're a government employee, a teacher, a coach, that they don't have to leave their faith at home in order to contribute to their community.
I think of baseball players crossing themselves before they come up to bat in Major League Baseball. And what are they going to say, that you can't do that?
Yeah. You know, there is, and people will always say, well, you know, that's private. But the idea is, nobody ever says, you know, that's going to be attributed to the Cubs. No. We all know that this is an individual, personal choice. Now, there is an issue about people were saying kids felt pressured to join the coach. Well, that's why they have parents. You know, if kids are dealing with pressure, whether it's peer pressure in school or pressure because everyone's joining. But again, Coach Kennedy never pressured any of his students. And when the students said, hey, can I join you? He said, hey, it's a free country, and you're darn right it is.
It's ironic. We're talking about this case and today's power scripture, something we do every day that I like to call from the playbook of life from Colossians 3:17. St. Paul writes, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So this is exactly what Coach Kennedy was doing, giving thanks for the many blessings that he has received from the Lord as a football coach. And really, at the end of the day, this is what it's all about. Andrea, I just can't help but think, what can we expect from the Supreme Court in this case? What's your perspective? We have a six-justice so-called supermajority. How do you think this is going to turn out?
You know, it's always hard. I never want to think that I have a crystal ball. But I do think that this court has consistently affirmed the constitutional protections, especially religious freedom and free speech. I think we're going to get some clarification so that the lower courts don't make mistakes when future cases come up like this.
Excellent. Well, we need to take a short break. On the other side, we're going to talk about another fascinating case involving free speech versus LGBTQ rights. So stay tuned. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our conversation with Catholic attorney Andrea Picciotti-Bayer. Stay with us. There's much more to come after this.
I have been hoping and praying for this day for many, many years, and I'm very thankful that the United States Supreme Court has decided to hear my case, because my case is important to all Americans, including artists like myself. It's important that our First Amendment rights for free speech are protected, and I'm thankful that the court's going to hear my case and hopefully protect those rights for myself and all Americans.
And you just heard from Lori Smith, business owner involved in the next case that we're going to talk about this morning. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for being with us as we continue our conversation with Catholic attorney and Stanford law grad Andrea Picciotti-Bayer, the director of the Conscious Project. Andrea, welcome back.
Thank you so much. I am going to say I love the Sox as well.
Oh, very good. Very, very good.
Not just the Cubs. I'm an equal Chicago sports team fan.
I am a former longtime suffering Cub fan, but as you know, they finally won the World Series, so I'm good for at least another 100 years. All right. Andrea, actually, before we switch gears and talk about this case involving Lori Smith, we do have a caller that had a quick question for you. Denise is joining us this morning from Providence, Rhode Island. Good morning, Denise. You're on with Andrea Picciotti-Bayer.
Hi. I just wanted to ask a quick question. I am a teacher in a very blue state, and I wouldn't bring the question in front of my union because I think I know what the answer would be, but legally, do we have the right to pray in front of our students, say during or after the pledge or at the end of a school day, or would that be interpreted as something that was out of bounds in the role as a teacher?
Denise, that's a really great question. And the one thing is it ties into the notion of what is your official duties, because the government can, as employer, restrict individual speech, right? So the government has restrictions on their ability to censor or suppress the speech of private citizens. But as an employer, they can say during the course of your official duties, you cannot do certain things, X, Y, and Z, right? So I would, obviously I don't want to give out free legal advice because I don't want to get into any trouble, but the guidance would be if it is during the course of the school day and it is something that you're engaging your students in, I think that you need to be careful about. If it's a private activity on your part, like during right before meals or to start your personal workday that doesn't engage or involve your students, then that is your personal behavior. And people have talked about, the ability of government workers to be able to keep up a life of prayer during their workday, keep those spiritual norms going on. It's just recognizing that when you are in your official capacity as a teacher, you really are on the government's dime, I guess. That's the best advice that I can give.
I hope that helps, Denise. Thanks for calling us. I want to shift gears and talk about this other case involving Lori Smith. On Tuesday, the Supreme Court announced it's taking up this case over free speech versus LGBTQ rights. The High Court will hear the case of a Christian web designer who claims she's being forced by the state government to promote same-sex marriage. Can you tell us a little bit about this case involving Lori Smith's 303 Creative LLC versus Elanis?
Yeah, this was a really wonderful move by the Supreme Court to grant review over Lori's case. Lori is a young entrepreneur, Christian evangelical, that has a website design company, and she wanted to expand her services to include wedding websites, which apparently is a thing. But she wanted to make sure that she was only offering her services to celebrate traditional marriage, marriage between a man and a woman, consistent with her understanding as a Christian of the nature of marriage. She was concerned because she lives in Colorado, and Colorado has a very broad anti-discrimination law. It's the same law that was used to punish Jack Phillips, the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop. He's a Christian cake baker who brought his case to the Supreme Court when he was fined by the state's Civil Rights Commission for refusing to bake a wedding cake for a same-sex marriage. The case wasn't resolved on the issues of Jack's free speech rights, but instead the court said there was so much hostility that the commission showed to Jack's Christian beliefs that they really said that he wasn't being treated fairly. This case involving Lori is really going to get to that issue. Is Lori going to have to use her creative talents against her beliefs? And so that's a form of, you know, compelled speech, which the government is not allowed to do under the First Amendment. And the other issue is Lori said, well, can I put a disclaimer on my website saying, hey, you know, I'm a Christian businesswoman, and this is really what I want to use my talents for. And the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals said, you can't. And so she's definitely being censored as well. That's a mind-blowing opinion by a lower court. It's one that's been criticized by legal scholars, both on the left and the right. And I expect the Supreme Court, looking at this, even civil libertarians on the left are going to see that this kind of situation is not that one that we can allow to stand.
It's kind of interesting that we're talking about the same Colorado agency that is now threatening Lori's rights is the same one that tried to punish Jack the baker.
Absolutely. Now, Lori did take kind of a preventative move. She actually knows Jack Phillips. Jack made her wedding cake. And she went to court kind of in advance saying, look, I want a declaratory judgment from a court to say that I'm not going to get into problems with my state. I want to do this, but I don't want to do it in at odds with the law. And so she really is kind of trying to get out in front of things. And sadly, that's, I think, what a lot of Americans feel they have to do. They don't want to spend years and years fighting their government. They want to be able to use their talents, have a business, contribute to their community. But they're definitely kind of walking on eggshells these days.
Andrea, much like the football coach case, there's a lot at stake here. It's more than just this entrepreneur's situation. This affects all of us. Why do you see this as a possible landmark case for religious liberty and artistic freedom?
You know, it's interesting. The court is only going to be looking at it from the free speech issue. It's not going to be looking at the case from the free exercise of religion. But as more and more Americans, especially Americans of faith, are finding that their expression of faith is being suppressed by overexpanded anti-discrimination laws, this is an issue in which the First Amendment is really going to be a marker for us moving forward. I was asked a few days ago, hey, you know, what do you think is going to be the way, which one is going to win out? And I don't think we need to see this as an either or. I think there's a way for Lori Smith to be able to keep her business open and serve consistent with her faith, as well as make sure that there isn't violence, there isn't discrimination, that the marketplace is open to people who are wanting to celebrate a same-sex marriage. That's a legal issue. That's an issue, you know, a marriage that's been a right that's been created by the Supreme Court. So we don't need to think about one team winning and one team losing. There's a way that we can be pluralistic and, I think, move forward. And that is exactly the way that we've been in our American tradition all along.
Andrea, how would you describe how we're doing overall with religious freedom here at the beginning of this year?
You know, it makes me disappointed that the Supreme Court needs to be the stopgap place. It makes me disappointed that progressive politicians in the federal government and state and local governments keep advancing policies and programs that are in conflict with traditional belief. But at least we've got a system in place where our judiciary is there to say, whoa, wait a second, and kind of pull things back. I think in the end, it's going to help. The Supreme Court is definitely going to set the standard. But I think that all of us, especially Americans of faith, need to be talking to our elected officials and saying, don't advance popular ideas without taking into account religious beliefs.
Absolutely. And we continue to pray for these two individuals, for Lori Smith, the entrepreneur, and the former football coach, Joe Kennedy, and also pray for our justices on the Supreme Court that they decide correctly in both of these cases. As always, Andrea, it's been a joy to be with you. Thanks so much for your perspective.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful morning, everyone.
Absolutely. Andrea Picciotti Bayer, Catholic attorney and the director of the Conscious Project. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called What Are You Listening For? I remember reading a story once about a wealthy businessman who, over the years of his travels, had formed a friendship with a Native American. This pair, in spite of their differences, remained close, and after many years, the businessman finally convinced his friend to visit him in the city where he lived. As they were walking down the busy streets full of noise, traffic, and people, the Native American suddenly stopped, walked into an alley, and bent down over a small plant growing there. His friend followed him and found him listening to a tiny cricket chirping. Amazed, the businessman asked him how he ever heard that little sound among the deafening noise of the city. The Native American just smiled and said, "What you hear is what you listen for." As they walked back to the street, the Native American took a handful of coins out of his pocket and dropped them on the pavement. The businessman smiled as he saw a dozen heads turn toward the sound, and he realized what his friend had meant. What are you listening for in this life? Are you listening for the latest lottery numbers to be announced? Or are you listening for the sweet songs of the birds in the morning? Are you listening for the newest gossip people are saying? Or are you listening for the happy sound of your children's laughter? Are you listening for the shouting voices of anger and hatred in this world that try and fill our ears and hearts with their poison? Or are you listening for the gentle voice of God whispering to you, "I love you, my child. Come, work with me, and we'll shower the world with love and joy together." Either way, what you listen for is what you'll hear. Open your ears, mind, heart, and soul, and listen. John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me.
Thanks so much, Glenn, and stay tuned to Glenn Leverance for special reports all throughout the morning to keep us up to date on the latest of this Russian invasion, this full-scale attack on Ukraine, as he's been reporting all morning long. There are dozens and dozens of people who have already perished in the beginning of this conflict. I also want to remind you that you can always listen to all of Glenn's Story Corners or any of our Morning Air podcasts or any segment segment of any one of our shows that you might want to share with others, all you have to do is download it on the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. If you have a story idea, shoot us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Let's continue to pray for Ukraine. Let's invoke the Mother of God, as we've been talking about here with the start of this full Russian invasion. Let's pray the rosary with Father Rocky on the Family Rosary Across America at 7 p.m. Central tonight, and also pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for God's Mercy at 3 p.m. Central on the Drew Mariani Show this afternoon. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producers Gabby Burke, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. In the words of St. John Paul II, be not afraid. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.